my name is Ashley Hill, and welcome to the Ashley Hill Podcast. I am your host. I am a best-selling author and scholarship search strategist. Join me as I talk about lifestyle, personal finance, and personal development with my amazing guest. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our next segment here. I'm so excited because I have this amazing expert. He's going to blow us away with all the great things that are going on and how to get prepared for the MBA world. And this is none other than Mr. Ryan Barba. So welcome, Ryan.
Thanks so much, Ashley. Real great to be here.
I'm excited. And you know what? I'm going to tell the audience, this is actually my first time really connecting with Ryan, but I've been a fan for a long time and sending my students over there to the website, his website there, and getting those nuggets. And me and Ryan were just talking about this offline, that this time we're in right now has changed some things, a lot of things. Yeah. And I'm sure that the MBA admissions world is no different, or they're not exempt from the changes. So Ryan, if you can kind of just start off there, is, you know, how was this pandemic impacted? What's going on right now? You know, what have you seen from your experience?
Yeah. So I think the pandemic has made MBA admissions harder for both the schools and for candidates trying to impress those schools. I think the good news for candidates is that it's harder for everybody. But the bad news is it's still harder, right? So one big thing that I think has really changed is, you know, depending on the school and their ranking and reputation and historical yield, a lot of schools really expect and appreciate when candidates make their way to campus to visit. But given that we're now in the midst of a global pandemic, campus visits for many of these schools are no longer even allowed. Some of them aren't even doing in-person classes. So from a candidate's perspective, your ability to actually engage with a school is more challenging. And it can be harder, I think, for candidates to narrow down the list of schools that they want to apply to. I think there's certainly a lot of value in choosing your schools based on their ranking and data and reputation and academic focus areas, and all those things are so important. But anytime I'm coaching a candidate, I'll always encourage them to make their way physically onto the campus and speak to students, speak to professors, get to know the feel of the school, sit down in the cafeteria, and you just can't do that right now. So that makes engaging with the schools more difficult, making that initial in-person impression difficult, and really making your choice of schools that much more difficult because you're left to doing everything virtually. The same would apply to the interview process. I am somebody who loves to interview in person. I think I do a better job making a good impression when I'm interviewing with somebody in person. And I think a lot of people are that way. But now interviews are all virtual. So whether you're interviewing with a student or a member of the admissions committee or an alum, you're doing it all over Zoom or Skype, which again, I guess that plays into some candidates' favor if they prefer it that way. I'm not one of those people. So that's been a big change. And then I think more broadly in the pandemic, it's just made getting into business school harder. We know already that application numbers were up significantly for round one. The schools have been kind of warning of that since June, that they're expecting things to be more competitive this year. And that has certainly proven to be true. Application numbers are up. And then the other thing at play that's making things more competitive is that when COVID hit, a lot of these schools made deferrals, their deferral strategies or standards, much more flexible, especially for international candidates. And a lot of candidates took advantage of that. So what that means is you have more candidates applying this year, so it's already more competitive, but they're actually competing for a smaller number of spots because some of next year's classes have already been filled from last year's deferrals. That makes sense.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. I forgot about the wait list and those students. So you're right. That makes us even more competitive. And so, wow, we definitely have to, and those that are watching and those that are listening, if you're headed off to, you may want to go to business school, you definitely have to keep that in mind in the midst of all the other stuff.
Yeah.
That we have to keep in mind, right? And so we're kind of in that same vein. You touched a little bit on the interview process and just, you know, what's been going on, but just in the whole, I'll say the application process for business school, What are some of the top mistakes you're seeing right now? Or what are some things that maybe used to work, but they no longer work? And how can students kind of get started on fixing or avoiding some of those mistakes?
Yeah, so based on my past year's experience, I don't know that the biggest mistakes that candidates are making has really changed all that much. Certainly, I think it requires a better ability to engage virtually, like I talked about. So whether it's before you apply and getting to know the school, interviewing virtually, I think just having to be a little bit more technologically savvy. But I think we're already kind of moving in that direction because a lot of schools have already, for the past few years, been asking for video essays, right? So that's already kind of becoming a thing. And so kind of your stage presence on camera is becoming increasingly important. And so some candidates are more nervous about that than others, but that is an adjustment that they've had to make. And I think we'll continue to see that in the years moving forward. But in terms of the top mistakes that candidates make, I don't think that's changed all that much. I think if you were to ask me this question last year, my answer would be exactly the same. And those are, I think, the biggest mistakes that candidates make. I think there's three. One is that they're just way too generic in their application materials and in developing what I would call their brand. And brand is kind of a buzzword. It's been in the industry for a long time. But I really do think it's a thing, right? I think candidates really have to have a clear brand and differentiation strategy for how they're going to discern themselves from other applicants applying to these really competitive schools. And most candidates just don't do that forethinking, right? They just kind of put pen to paper and say, well, this sounds okay to me. And you know, they go through a million drafts and they make the verbiage sound well, but they haven't really thought through their own strategy and brand. And they come off as kind of generic and they too easily blend into the fold. The same would be true with your career goals. There's a million candidates who apply to business school every year who say, you know, I've been working in the tech industry, for example, or I've been working in engineering and I'm tired of it. And now I want to be a strategy consultant, right? That's a very relevant career goal to want to go into strategy consulting from something pre-MBA. But that's like the most generic thing you can tell a business school. Right? I'm tired of what I'm doing, and now I want to do something like strategy, right? Mm-hmm. You need to be so much more specific, and you want to use those career goal essays to really inspire the admissions committee and tell them, here's the dream, right? Here's what I want to do. Here's who I want to become. You know, when you see me on a magazine cover 40 years from now, this is what it's going to be for. And candidates really don't think about that and think of ways to differentiate themselves in really exciting ways. And so my belief, having worked in MBA admissions for a couple of programs over 5 years, is that there's always room at the top for those candidates that really differentiate themselves and really brand themselves well. There's always going to be space for you in a top business school because, surprisingly to some, many and most candidates don't do that nearly well enough. So regardless of whether we're dealing with COVID or not, I still believe that if you're really able to differentiate yourself and you have a clear brand and differentiation strategy, you're bound for success as long as you're still meeting kind of the minimum thresholds, right? If you have a really terrible GMAT and GPA, you know, obviously those things can keep you out of school. But barring those things, a really strong brand is really crucial. Another big mistake candidates make is they just don't address their weaknesses adequately enough in the optional essays. Most candidates just don't know how to use that essay well or underestimate their importance. Truth is there's very few absolute perfect candidates, if there's ever such thing, right? There's really no such thing as a perfect candidate. It's probably the best way to put that. And so knowing how to use that optional essay well to make your case and address things that may be a concern for the admissions committee is absolutely crucial. And candidates, but like I said, they just don't take advantage of that and know the right structures to use to really build their case and offset those concerns. But the biggest mistake, I think, is so many candidates overestimate, I think, what it takes to get into a top school. And I know that sounds overly optimistic. I've helped dozens of candidates get into schools like Harvard and Stanford, nearing 100 for HBS, right? Wow. Not a single one of them wasn't shocked that they got in. Anybody who ever gets into Stanford or Wharton or HBS is like, oh my goodness, you know, I can't believe that it's me, right? And that's true whether they have a 660 GMAT score or a 760 GMAT score. They're both equally floored that they actually got into these top programs. But I think you need to go into this process with the mindset that success is possible. Again, as long as you're meeting those kind of minimum thresholds and standards from the quant perspective, like the GMAT, GRE, GPA, success is absolutely possible, but people overestimate what it takes. You know, they basically kind of assume you have to be the second coming of Steve Jobs in order to get into Harvard. And that really is not true. But if you go into the process with that lack of confidence and lack of optimism, that's going to show up, right? That's going to come through your essays. It's going to come through your demeanor when you get an interview. So you really have to go into the process confident that success is possible for you. And similarly on the GMAT, I mean, the biggest mistake that candidates make on the GMAT is they just give up too early, right? I'm a firm believer that the GMAT test is just a test of how well you know the GMAT, right? You can memorize the formulas and the strategies, but it's a test that you can improve on over time. And where candidates get tripped up is they give up too early, right? Oh, I've been studying for 4 months. I've had enough. I've hit a threshold. You haven't, right? Study some more. Put some more legwork in. Go in and hire a tutor. There's always, you know, push back your timeline a year if you need some time to study, but always apply when you have the best application possible and don't settle for a lower GMAT score or a lower quality application just to kind of rush it in this year, right? I get questions all the time about what should I apply round one versus round two. Yes, there's a slight advantage to applying round one, but I'll always tell a candidate, apply round two with an A+ quality application rather than round one with an A- or a B+, right? 20, 30 points on the GMAT is gonna be worth far more than getting your application in a round room. And that's a mistake that candidates kind of make all the time.
I love it. And you know, I was listening to it, and one thing you said, a few things you said, it really stood out is the strategy piece, is that students have to, like you said, kind of delve into and develop their own brand and make sure that is shown throughout their application.
That's right. The way I typically coach my candidates is to say, okay, let's come up with your brand. What is our go-to-market strategy for you? The message that we want you to have that has to shine through every one of the applications that you're crafting, like you said. And then you can kind of critically take a look and say, okay, so this school is asking these three questions. For those three questions, you have two goals. One, you want to actually obviously answer the questions that are being asked in the word limit that they're specifying. But two is you have to find a way to get your brand and your message across given the questions that those schools are giving you. So you want to almost look holistically at, okay, these are the three questions I have. How can I make sure the most important parts of my brand are put into these essays somewhere so that it comes across and it shines through while at the same time answering the questions that the school is giving you?
That's awesome. And speaking of branding, so everyone that's listening and watching, Ryan is a master at this. Okay, so he's not new to the scene here, to the field. So Ryan, kind of take us through for someone that's listening and they're like, you know what, Ryan, I don't know what my unique, I call it secret sauce, but what's my secret sauce? You know, what's my brand? I don't know how to find that. Maybe they don't know. Maybe right now they're just concerned about COVID, but they really want to get into that, you know, their like perfect or ideal business school. So kind of walk us through how you and your company, you know, how you take them on, what kind of support and features do you offer when you work with those students?
Yeah, sure. So I'll answer the first part first, kind of how do you craft a brand? It's going to sound like I'm punting on the answer, but I'm not. And that is, it's different for every person.
That's true. Right?
So the first thing that I do when I start to work with a candidate, I have this obnoxiously personal questionnaire that I send my candidates. It's 3 or 4 pages long. It's really detailed. And we literally try to boil the ocean. And I try to learn everything I possibly can about that candidate. And frankly, we end up not using 80% of what they give me in that form. But you never know where something really interesting and unique is going to come from. And so everything from who are your heroes and what were those life-changing moments for you when you were 10 years old, to what are the best books you've read and what did you learn from them that was so inspiring to you, you never know where those nuggets of real differentiation would come from. Certainly you want something from your professional life for sure that comes across and does justice to the work you've done pre-MBA. But the way I tend to explain a brand very simply is you want to be able to go to a business school and say, listen, Harvard, listen, Stanford, I'm the only one applying to your school this year that can say these 3 or 4 things in combination, right? as a lifer, kind of consultant in my professional life, I'm a really big believer in the power of three, like a three-pronged argument. There's a lot of science and psychology that goes into how three things are memorable and forceful and all that stuff. So I'll say to a candidate, listen, we need your three brand attributes, right? The three things that we can say about you that are really, really powerful that you can go to a school and say, I am the only one applying to your school this year and maybe ever that has these three things in combination, right? That's differentiating, that's exciting, that's powerful, that's memorable. And so yeah, how you get there, again, there's no exact science because you never know when those where those brand attributes are going to come from and what's going to be most differentiating. So when I'm working with a candidate, I really think of our work in three phases. And phase one is all about planning and strategizing. And that is creating that brand. So going through that questionnaire that I send them, going through it in a lot of real detail and trying to discern, you know, what are those things about you that are really, really exciting that a school is going to be excited to hear about. And it helps that I worked in admissions. So I just kind of have this natural, like, yeah, that's going to cut it. And that's not right. And so I'm constantly pushing back against candidates. Like, you know, we need to set a higher bar here. This just isn't going to do it. And that's where my help is helpful, I think. But so phase one of our work is developing your brand, school selection, recommender, coaching, choosing recommenders, developing a strategy and a plan. So you know, if you're applying by such and such a date, what happens if you don't get the GMAT score, the GRE score by that date? You know, what is the score you need? How far do you push it back? So it's all about strategy, marketing and branding and getting your plan in place for school selection, timing, things like that. And then what we do is we help you with all of the application forms and materials themselves. So resume, essays, application forms, helping to coach recommenders. We don't edit recommendations because that's considered unethical to business schools. So we want to toe that line the right way. But we deeply edit everything else that you're submitting. And then once you press submit, phase three of our process is literally anything post the written application stuff. So interview training, interview prep, waitlist management, scholarship negotiation, and really any other help you need.
And, you know, I love that. I was listening. I've been on your website and seen it. But I love for everyone that's listening and watching is that you guys do cover the whole process because someone, you know, a candidate could maybe be really solid in one piece, but maybe their interviewing skills aren't up to par. And so mm-hmm. I love that you guys can help them with that. And for those that are watching, if you're not an on-camera person, like Ryan mentioned earlier on, you know, he can coach you through that and give you some tips and also help you polish it. Like you said, yeah. What you do have. So I love it. I think that's really great.
Yeah, it's exciting. I actually think this is a good time to be thinking about business school. Whether you're applying this year or next year, because most of us, I mean, I'm out in LA, we're still on pretty deep lockdown. There's not much things for me to do. And I think that's true for a lot of candidates. So if you're thinking of applying in the future and you haven't yet started the process, this is a great time to bury your nose in a GMAT book or take an online class and start that process. As stressful and trying as the MBA admission process is, I actually think it can be really enlightening and really exciting because it does force you to really think through your story and why do you want to go to business school, but what is it that you want to achieve with that MBA degree, right? What is that dream vision for who you want to become 10, 15 years up the road? And that really takes some thought and some reflection that in a normal year, you'd have to kind of squeeze that in between meetings and night plans maybe. Right. But nowadays with fewer things to do and fewer things on the calendar, it's a great opportunity to take a step back and acknowledge this is an opportunity to do it well and to plan ahead if you're looking for next year.
I agree. And, you know, Ryan, I'll say this too, and I'm going to say this to the audience, is, of course, Ryan is amazing. But what I love even more, or I guess equally as more, is that even the reviews of those that have worked with him, it's one thing when, you know that's the expert. When you have other students confirming that and validating that, and I was just reading through some of the reviews of how students were like, you know, Ryan really helped me, you know, pull this application together. I was stressed about, you know, such and such. And, you know, he really was able to walk me through that. And I would say really to be successful, you really do. You need that person walking alongside with you, you know, to guide and answer questions. And then on top of that, you guys didn't hear Ryan said he worked in admissions. So that's who you want. on your team. You want somebody that's got the experience.
For sure. I mean, this really is a very personal journey. When you're working with a consultant to go through to apply to this school, you really have to trust that person, that they know what they're doing, but also that you can share the ugly truths with them about what you've been through and what you're really all about. So one thing that we do at my little company, which is different, is we very strictly limit the number of candidates we take on every year. Prior to this, I worked at a large MBA consulting firm, and I'm not bashing them at all because I learned a lot from them and it was a great experience. But I had a ton of candidates that I was working with simultaneously. We do things very differently. So every consultant on my team only takes on a maximum of 3 candidates at once to make sure that if you need to hop on the phone, we're going to talk this afternoon at 3 o'clock, as opposed to, you know, a week from tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning when we're trying to squeeze each other in. Right.
Right.
You need a consultant who's available to walk you through each step with that real personal touch and who's available to you and really, really knows you to coach you deeply through the process, because it is a competitive process and you can't afford for things to be dropped along the way. That's when people don't get in.
That's right. And that costs extra money sometimes when you're not as prepared or you're trying to piecemeal, you know, something together. So I encourage everyone that's listening and watching is to, and I'll have Ryan's information in the links and everything. So you'll be able to contact him. We're connected on social media. I encourage you guys to follow Ryan's. It's Ryan Barba underscore MBA underscore coach on Instagram, and just follow his feed as well. He always has great tips and things to help you guys get ready. So Ryan, I'm going to let you take us out of here with any final words, final advice, final wisdom for anybody that's listening and watching.
Yeah, just congratulations. If you're thinking of applying to business school, you know, business school for me absolutely changed my life. I can say that that's true for the vast majority, if not all, the candidates that I've worked with. It's a big undertaking and there's a lot of steps along the way, as I mentioned, but it really is an opportunity to reflect back on who you want to be and where you're going. And so it can be really enjoyable as long as you don't put yourself in a position where you're really rushed and stressed. So give yourself the time that you need to do it well. And it's actually not as painful as you might think it is. And I think you'll get a lot out of the process. And congrats on the decision. It's a big one.
Awesome. Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. So like I said, everybody, get in contact with Ryan. If you know you're at that point, you've made that decision, it's time to get your team together. You need a consultant to help you. So I highly recommend Ryan to, he'll definitely get the job done for you.
Perfect.
So Ryan,
thanks so much.
Yes. And thank you so much, and be safe out there in California and quarantining and all that good stuff too.
Will do. Thanks so much, Ashley. Great to talk to you.
You're welcome. All right, that wraps up another podcast episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone who needs these great tips and information, please share. Also, please follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's at Prep, PREPFOR College. On Facebook, we're at Prep, the number 4 College. On Instagram, we're at Prep, FOUR College. Also, you can visit our website to get more information on upcoming classes and courses that we have, which is at www.scholarshipsuccessschool.com. Again, that is www.scholarshipsuccessschool.com. And until next time, stay safe and be well.